priest is who? Jesus. Number two, all of us get to be priests. Doesn't matter which nationality we are. As we become God's children, we become a royal priesthood. How wonderful is that as we think about that as being God's children? It goes on that we are a holy nation. We sometimes call it the kingdom. We are the kingdom of God. We are the nation that God has developed through His Son. It starts out with salvation, but we become that holy nation. And we are His own special people. Now we're His own special people so that we can proclaim the type of life He wants people to live. So we're going to go to some other passages here just for a moment. So in 1 Peter 2:9, as we talk about being His own special people, let's go to Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10. In Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10. While you're turning to Ephesians 2:10, people will ask, well, what's the purpose of life? Glorify God. That is the purpose of life, glorify God. And we are His own special people. Now, in Ephesians chapter 2, it talks about, by grace you are saved through faith, not of works. But look at verse 10. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. Remember, how are we created in Christ Jesus? Chapter 1, by that salvation we have through Christ. For good works, look at this, for good works, which what? Which God prepared beforehand, that we should walk in them. Not for good works we devise in our mind, but for good works which God prepared, and it's revealed to us in His Word. So we are His special people to do those works that He has prepared for us. We'll look at that in more detail as the lesson goes on. Turn with me, if you will, to Ephesians chapter 4. In Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 1. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you are called. So to walk worthy, there must be something we must do. And that which we must do is, being His special people, do those works which He devised, right? One more passage before we go back to Peter. Let's go to Titus chapter 2. In Titus chapter 2, we have recorded for us here, as Paul writes to Titus, remember the lessons to Timothy and Titus, we have chapter 2 and verse 11, 10 and 11, this being stated. Here we learn, verse 10, for the grace of God that brings salvation hath appeared to all men. See verse 11, the grace of God that brings salvation, that ties together with 1 Peter chapter 1, God's mercy, God's love through Christ, and being born again. Now look at the next verse. Teaching us, what teaches us? The grace of God. How? Through the word of His grace. Denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. So what's the purpose of life? Well, the purpose of life is to glorify God. If you decide to be a business owner, glorify God and being a business owner. If you decide to be a carpenter, then glorify God by being a carpenter. Now, years ago, we used to have a lot of them, but if you were a factory worker, then you glorify God by working in the factory. You do the best you can because you're there to glorify God. We are God's chosen people, that holy nation, that royal priesthood, so that we can live in such a way to bring glory to God. So, from 1 Peter chapter 2 and verses 5 and verses 9, we find out what Christians are. As we continue to talk about Peter, we have the conduct of the Christian. So let's look at that. The conduct of the Christian, we begin in 1 Peter chapter 2. Let's go back to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verses 13 through 15. And that is, we should be the best citizen we can possibly be. 1 Peter 2, 13 through 15, government. Now, understand, there are times we would need to disobey the government if the government tries to teach us something that's contrary to His will. My own personal conviction, I'm not going to allow the government to tell me when and where I can worship. Not going to allow that. Government has no right to do that. Christians are to come together, period, And no government's going to tell me. So that would be, I would disobey that. Fortunately, we don't have to disobey that. We can come together freely. Now, when it says government, let's read those passages, 13 through 15. Therefore, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether kings as supreme or to governors, as to those who sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of those who do good. I want you to stop here and think about this here. When he says, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man, who were the Christians under at that time? The Romans. They were a horrible people. And there were things Christians couldn't do. When we study Revelation, they couldn't offer up to the leader of Rome. They couldn't offer a pinch of incense to the leader of Rome, and that might have cost their life. But there are other things that didn't violate God's law that Christians, we are to do that. That's being a good citizen, you know, as God teaches us. As we look at this, continue on, it says, verse 15, for this is the will of God. Thus, by doing good, you might put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. I believe Christians, whatever government you're under, will be the best citizen of that government as long as that government doesn't want you to violate God's will. That's a whole different story. But other than that, we would be the best citizens. Government wants us to pay taxes. I don't have to worry whether they're used properly or misused. I've got my personal convictions that a lot of them are misused. But nevertheless, I live in America, so I pay taxes. I'm self-employed, so we're coming up to April 15th. I've already sent in my first estimated taxes for this year of 2025. Now, some say, well, I'm not going to do it. I'm a Christian, and I don't agree with some of the things the government does. That's not what this says. Let me ask you this. Do you think Rome did some things that Christians didn't like? But they were to render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's. So again, as I look at 1 Peter, not only as it tells me what type of person I am after I'm baptized, it tells me my responsibility to government. And again, I need to be the best citizen. There are some laws I may not like. But if the law does not violate God's pattern, I need to follow that law. I've never liked the seatbelt law. Now, it's been shown to be very profitable. But I need to follow that law because that is what has been designed by the government. Now, we could go on to many other areas, but I think you get the point. As a Christian, I obey the government as long as it doesn't violate God's will. Again, I need to respect those in authority. Go to chapter 2 and verse 18. Now, the authority here in the context is slaves to masters. Fortunately, we don't have slavery today. We have owners, we have supervisors, we have those who own companies. Although slaves to masters, slaves didn't get a chance to move on. But we get a chance to move on if we're under a bad situation. But let's hear what it says. Verse 18, 1 Peter 2 and verse 18. Servants, be submissive to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the harsh. For this is commendable if because of conscience sake, look at verse 19, not conscience sake toward the master, conscience sake toward God, that one endures grief, suffering wrongfully. Wow. So it's talking about that I need to submit to those in authority. It upsets me when I hear in the public school system that teachers aren't respected like they should be. That's sad. Shame on the family for not teaching that to their children. Well, I don't like that teacher. Well, it doesn't matter whether you like that teacher. What matters is that they are the ones in authority. Now, if they're doing something wrong, then you need to follow the proper course to deal with that. But kids back-talking to authority is just mind-boggling to me. That, my friend, is uncalled for. End of story. Oh, but my kid was right. No, your kid was wrong because they disrespected authority. Well, what they did was wrong. Well, then they need to go through the proper channels to deal with that. But I'm going to tell you this. If we grow up a generation that doesn't respect their teachers and does not respect law enforcement and does not respect our leaders, how do you think they're going to respect God whom they don't see? Right? Common sense. So I need to respect those in authority, whether it be the teacher, whether it be my supervisor, whether it be someone else in authority. I'll give you one simple illustration. Years ago, in Lakes and Spring Warrior, raining heavy that day, and I got tired of waiting, so I turned as this car was coming pretty fast. It happened to be the car that was coming pretty fast was a police officer. And he was not too happy. So as I turned and went into the parking lot, lo and behold, who's followed me into the parking lot was the police officer. And he did not have a good temperament. And he, I won't go into the details, but he let me have it. Now, I was wrong. But he has authority. You know what I said? Yes, sir. Yes, I. And this was a man who was 15, 20 years younger than me. Yes, ma'am. Yes, sir. And I thought for sure when he's done railing me over the coals, he's going to give me a ticket. And I probably would have said, thank you. But the point is this. You respect authority. Now, someone says, but aren't there some bad police officers? Yeah, and there are some bad leaders, and there are some bad preachers, and there are some bad people in all different areas of authority. We're not talking about the person. We're talking about the position that they hold, right? We need to respect the position that they hold. The slave was to respect not only the good masters. It'd be easy to respect the good masters. They were to respect those who were not good. Why? Because that's the will of God. But let's go on. Marriage. Let's go to 1 Peter chapter 3. All this in the book of 1 Peter. Verses 1 through 7. Wives, likewise be submissive to your own husbands, that even if some do not obey the word, they without the word might be won by the conduct of the wife. Boy, that's a precious passage there. Now, it's not saying that the word is not powerful. We know how powerful it is. But if they're not willing to listen, set by your example. Goes on to state, when they observe your chaste conduct accompanied by fear, do not let your adornment be merely outward arranging of the hair, wearing of gold, putting of a fine apparel. Rather, let it be the hidden person of the heart and with the incorruptible beauty with a gentle and quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of God. For in this manner, in former times, holy women who trusted in God also adorned themselves, being submissive to their own husbands, as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling them Lord, whose daughters you are, if you do good and are not afraid with any terror. I want to stop here in verse 6. Had a young lady years ago. No man's never going to tell me what to do. Well, she wasn't married. And I said, then you're never going to get married. Then don't get married. Because the Bible teaches of different roles between men and women. Oh, no, 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 we're not going to do that, Chuck. We're going to have 50-50. No, that don't work. Now, I'm not saying you shouldn't take your wife into consideration, gentlemen, but you have to have one to take the final decision, take the lead. You need to be submissive. That's why women, when you choose to get married, look at the fellow you're going to marry. Are you going to want to be submissive to him? I don't mean to be disrespectful, but if he's a jerk before you're married, he's not going to get any better after you're married. That's as simple as I can put it. Because you have a responsibility to be submissive to your husband. Now, we know that is within limitations. If the husband was to demand something that was contrary to the will of God, the woman would have a right to say, no, I'm not doing that. But oftentimes it has nothing to do with that. So it briefly talks about the woman's role of being submissive. Now, the trouble is that men have so abused it that we think we can become dictators. But that the Bible talks about that in many areas. But let's just go to one verse, staying in 1 Peter chapter 3, because we have the husbands in verse 7. Husbands, likewise dwell with them with understanding, giving honor to the wife. You see, if you're going to give honor to the wife, you're not going to be a dictator now, are you? Giving honor to the wife as to the weaker vessel. And I want to stop you. You know, some women have trouble with that. That's so sad. It's not saying weaker in intelligent-wise. Trust me, there's a lot of smart women. But generally speaking, from the fleshly, physical-wise, they are the weaker vessel. We see that in sports, do we not? When we want men to transform into women and go into women's sports. That don't work, huh, does it? Because you have different chemistry between a man and a woman. It goes on, and being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers may not be hindered. But notice, dwell with them with understanding. I've been married 52 years, if I've got it right, maybe 53. She'll remind me when I get in the car. I know it's over 50. In fact, all I remember is always being married. I don't ever remember a time of not being. And I'm not complaining. I'm just saying that's how long I've been married. I say that to say this. We men are different than women. Let's acknowledge that. And we talk now, men need to have compassion, but we don't have compassion like women often do. And we have to be observant and be concerned about their emotional makeup and not just ours. I'm not justifying myself, but I come from a Scandinavian background. I come from a Finnish background, mostly. And I don't know about Scandinavian people, but Scandinavian people don't show their emotions very much. And I have to work on that because I have a wife who's not from Finland. I wasn't from Finland either. I was born in America. But she's got a different makeup than a man. So it's a situation, I need to dwell with them according to what? According to knowledge. Not only the knowledge of what God's Word has to say, but I need to dwell with them according to knowledge that they are different. And that's how I need to approach it. You know, if you miss a birthday or you miss an anniversary, my thoughts, who cares? Tell that to a woman. Ask if they care. They may not just want some kind of fancy gift, but they want some type of acknowledgement. Women do a lot for us men. I wouldn't be where I am today if it wasn't for my wonderful wife. But sometimes I don't take in consideration that she's different than me. I have to respond to her differently than me. And again, that's taken time, and it's still taken some time. But that's what we have. So again, relationships, government, those in authority, your spouse. But let's go on to another. Others. That just kind of, let's go to 1 Peter 2 and verse 17. So when we think of 1 Peter, we think of these relationships. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 17. Honor all. People is in italics, right? Honor all. I want to stop here. I'm not going to go into detail on this. There should not be any prejudice regards to what ethnic background you are. And if you have prejudice, you need to change. You need to change. Blacks, whites, Asians, doesn't matter. There should not be prejudice. We are to honor all people. Well, some don't deserve honor. I will agree with you. But we are to the best of our ability to try to honor all people. Think how much better this country would be if we followed that principle to honor all. That's a big task, isn't it? But let's go back to 1 Peter 2 and verse 17. Because it says, honor all, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. Well, we don't have king, but we have political leaders. Oh, and speaking of that, I don't care if you're Democrat or Republican. I don't want to know what you are. but we need to respect the office. Sometimes there might be a person in the office we don't particularly like, but that's not the issue. We need to respect the office, are we not? Just like they were to respect those in positions of authority. We are to love the brotherhood. Well, I love some of my brethren. Well, that's good. You're on the right track. But it doesn't say pick and choose. We are to love our porcupine brothers. Well, who's the porcupine brothers? The porcupine brothers are those who always got their feelings on their fingertips. And you don't know how to react around them. You know people like that, don't you? But they're still your brethren. Love your brethren. Love the brotherhood. Sometimes we become obstinate to one another. Oh, not brotherhood. Yeah, sometimes we do. Love your brotherhood. You see, this verse 17, though it's a very short verse, is a tall task. In fact, as we talk about the brotherhood, let's go to 1 Peter chapter 3. And 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 8 and 9. We have recorded for us here in 1 Peter chapter 3, finally, all of you have of one mind, having compassion one for another, love as brothers, be tender-hearted and courteous, not returning evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, blessing, knowing that you were called to this, that you might inherit a blessing. In other words, when my brother or sister makes me mad, I don't hold it against them. I try to work things out and move things forward. You ever say something dumb? If you didn't, praise God. But most of us have. Aren't we grateful for forgiveness? And therefore, won't God forgive us? Then we need to forgive one another. Because sometimes our brethren, and sometimes I've been guilty of it, say things that are dumb. We didn't think them through. That's usually where problems come in, does it not? Do you see what he said? Okay, well, bring it to my attention. Perhaps I need to change. Again, over preaching for over 40 years, I've dwelt with some of the best people in the world. And I've dwelt with some porcupines. And it's hard to work with the porcupines because they want us pick and bite at one thing after another, but we're to love the brethren. Let's go to another passage. Are we talking about the loving the brethren? Let's go to 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 8 and 9. So it has a lot about the brotherhood here, 1 Peter chapter 4. In fact, if you go to 1 John, it has a lot more about brethren. Verse 8 through 10. And above all things, have fervent love for one another. Love will cover a multitude of sins. That doesn't mean that it allows people to sin, but you don't focus on that. You try to get them to do that which is right. Be hospitable to one another without grumbling. I want to make this point to you. Hospitality does not mean you have to give them a five-course meal. Why in America do we think hospitality always requires food? Now, trust me, I like food. And if you want to feed me, that's fine. But you can be hospitable without having food. Because some people say, well, I can't do that. You don't know my financial circumstances. Okay, let me understand you. So your financial circumstances are tight. And some of my brethren's financial circumstances are tight. So then that means you are excluded from hospitality. No, you're not. You can still be nice to them. You can invite them to come over. Well, it's not like their house. We're not comparing whose house is better than the others. Are we? Is that what we're going to do? No, that's not what we're doing. Be hospitable to one another. How you get to know one another? Well, we get to know one another here. Yes, if we allow ourselves to. And I'll say one thing, the brethren here, allow yourself. We're hanging around 40 minutes after the lesson. I think, why'd I quit so soon? So that's a good thing. But it's not just here. Be hospitable to one another. It goes on to state, as we look at verse 8 through 10, let's go on now, 1 Peter chapter 4, let's go to verse 10. And as each one has received a gift, minister it to what? To one another, as good stewards in the manifold grace of God. I don't try to be nice to someone else so I can check it off on my list, I've been nice to them. No. I don't try to be nice to someone else, and now I sit and wait, okay, when are they going to return that niceness to me? But some brethren are like that, aren't they? Well, he's never had me over to the house. I'll just blame Susan. It's her fault. No, it's not. It's but the point, you get my point? We're to do whatever we can to help one another. Now, are we closer to some than others? Absolutely. Oh, and by the way, if you're going to say, well, that's wrong, well, then Jesus was wrong. Then Jesus was wrong. Would you agree with me he was closer to Peter, James, and John? He loved all his disciples. But did he have a special closeness to those three? Yeah. But I can't have the desire for the closeness to a small select group to the extent I ignore everybody else. Right? That's the problem. So we're to love as... So again, responsibilities that we have with one another. Let's go on. And then in the book of... A lot of things in 1 Peter 1 through 5. Five short chapters, and you got a whole series of lessons here. In chapter 5, we've got the challenge. Then the last point, the challenge. 1 Peter chapter 2, 11. 1 Peter chapter 2. Next time you're sitting at a light, think about some of these things. Verse 11. Beloved, I beg you as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul. It's warning us, right? There's going to be fleshly lusts which war against the soul. Abstain from those things. Make sure you don't get caught up in them. Let's go to the next one. 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 10 through 12. Here's the one, good one. For he would love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. Wow. Let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous and his ears are open to their prayers, but the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Talks about the tongue. Talks about verse 11, I put there, don't hold grudges, seek peace. You know, someone does you wrong, that's all right, he's going to get his day. Oh, that's a good attitude, right? No, it's not. And then, his eyes are open to the righteous, we seek to have peace. Again, responsibilities, let's go on. 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 1 through 4. Staying within Peter most of the night now. Therefore, since Christ suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourself also with the same mind, for he who has suffered in the flesh hath ceased from sin, that he should no longer live the rest of his time in the flesh for the lusts of men, but for the will of God. Oh, this goes back to our earlier point. What's the purpose of life? Glorify God. Remember, we're a part of that royal priesthood. We're a part of that holy nation. As it goes on, for we have spent enough of our past lifetime in doing the will of the Gentiles when we walked in lewdness, lust, drunkenness, revelry, drinking parties, and abominable idolatries. In regard to these, they think it strange that you do not run with them in the same flood of dissipation, speaking evil of you. You don't do the things that some people do because you're a Christian. You're the holy nation. You're a royal priesthood. You've been purchased by the blood of Christ. Because of the mercy of God. You see, it all ties together. So it says, now when you do that, not everybody's going to like you. Young people, listen to me. I'm so grateful when young people obey the gospel. But people of us who are older, our young people have a challenge. They really do. I'm glad my children are grown up. I really am. We had challenges too, but not to the degree these young people today have challenges. I never had to worry about some of the things that parents have to worry about today and teach their children today. And so many children are just so overwhelmed by bullying on the internet. How sad that is. You know, for a 15, 16, 17-year-old, their whole realm of life focuses right there. And they don't realize life goes way beyond that. And sometimes young people, as well as old, can be very cruel. And if you're going to be a child of God, a Christian, they might even be more cruel. They might even put stumbling blocks in your way. Don't follow them. Do what's right. It's not going to be easy, but it'll be well worth it. I look back to my teenage years, and yes, I can think that far back yet. I look back to my teenage years. Some of the things that were a concern to me had no bearing on my whole life. Now, they did at that time for that moment. I remember one dumb thing. We lost a football game. We lost a lot of football games because our team stunk. And I was a lineman. And I don't know what it was. I got so overwhelmed in this one game. I went up to the coach. I didn't have tears in my eyes. Remember, I don't show my emotions. I didn't have tears in my eyes. But I told the coach it was all on me. No, it wasn't. We all stunk. And I look back and think how that affected me, because at that time, at that age, that was important. All I'm trying to say to you, what you think of important at that time will be totally different as you get older and deal with other things. And believe it or not, you stay the course, it's going to get better. Trust me when I tell you, it's going to get better. So we have to watch out. 1 Peter 4, 12 through 16, and we're almost done. Beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you as though some strange thing happened to you. But rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy. If you, now listen, young and old alike, if you are reproached for the name of Christ, blessed are you. For the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. On their part, he is blasphemed. That's the one who is making fun of you because you're living for Christ. On their part, he is blasphemed. But on your part, he is glorified. In other words, here you're living right and you're being railed against because you're living right. God's glorifying you because you're doing what's right. Those who are doing the bad things to you, God sees that happening also. But let none of you, verse 15, suffer as a murderer or a thief or an evildoer or a busybody in other people's matters. I want to stop here. What is wrong with our society that we are going to elevate and make popular a man who was shown on television killing another man, and we're elevating him? I don't understand that. Oh, but he was of the corporate world of greed. I don't care what he was. I am not going to elevate a person who sneaks up behind somebody. He's so good looking. Who cares? Who cares? But that's what's happening in our society. I don't understand it. When someone does evil, they deserve the punishment for the evil they've done. My own opinion is, I don't know if that state has the death penalty, but I hope it does, and I hope he gets it. Because he went behind a man who was walking down the street. Whether that man was a good man or bad man, that doesn't matter. And he shot him to death. Shot him to death. And we're going to glorify that? We're going to stand outside with signs and saying, release him? Yeah, don't release him in my community. What is happening to our society? Is it just me? Am I getting so cranky as I'm getting older? Or do you see the problems that are going on? And attitudes like that rub off to others. Be careful. Yeah. Now, if you're being reproached because you've done something bad, well, then you should be reproached. Had a brother in Christ contact me. His son was in jail because he was driving drunk. Asked if I would help him to get out. I said, no. No. I said, I'm not in your position, but maybe I'd let him sit there. He brought that consequence on himself. People do wrong, they deserve the consequence of the wrong they're doing. And those of you with small children, if they go to public school and they do something wrong, I was more concerned of the consequences because I know my mom was going to stand up for me if I got a note to come to the school. Because first of all, she's perturbed that she's got to come to the school. All I'm trying to say, evildoers deserve to have wrong. But you're going to do good and you're going to be wronged, but God is there to help you. That's the beauty part. 1 Peter 5, 8 and 9. 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 8 and 9. We have this recorded for us. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil are walking about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. How many lessons did I give you tonight? A lot, didn't I? This could be a series of 6 or 7, 8 sermons. All I'm trying to say, you got nothing better to do, take time, take a book, read it, and reflect. What do I get right away out of this book? Then write that down. Think about it. Think about how it can help you. We're going to close with this passage, and the lesson's yours. Going back to 1 Peter chapter 1. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 14 through 17, I thank you for your kind attention this evening. We have, beginning in verse 13, Therefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Be sober and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Someday he's coming back. As obedient children, not conforming yourself to the former lusts and your ignorance, but as he who has called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. Why? We're God's peculiar people. We're God's special people. And if you call on the Father, who is without partiality, judges according to each one's work, conduct yourself throughout the time of your last stay here in fear. So grateful for the mercy of God. But let's not ignore that we have a responsibility too. So let's go back and read the books. Maybe if you haven't done so, make it your aim that with time that you have, try to remember something in all 66 books. And not just remember something because you've got a biblical fact in your mind. Nothing wrong with biblical facts in our mind. But what are some of the lessons that you learn? You know, you think of the book of Joshua. Biblical fact, God's people got their land. But the lesson to learn is you keep on serving God. Remember, Joshua was told that. Be strong and of good courage. You could learn the lesson there as we talk about AI and other. But I'm trying to say, so it's not simply remembering biblical facts. It's remembering lessons that can help us to be the type of people that God wants us to be. Are we doing that? If you're here tonight and you're not a child of God, why not receive his mercy? Repent of your sins, be baptized, and then serve him faithfully as we stand and as we sing.
There's a fountain of praises for you and me. Let us
you be seated. Brother Tony will head the table.